word of God is quick and sharper than a two-edged sword, able to pierce asunder even to the bones and the marrow. Amen. So if you will be attentive, I will be really quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 10, 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God," let's say it together, "but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make," and I want you to say this with me, "a way of escape." Let's say it again, "a way of escape." One more time, "a way of escape, that he may be able to bear it." If you could bow your heads one more time. Lord, I ask you for utterance this afternoon, that your word will go forward unhindered. Lord, that it will bless, that it will find good soil. We give you thanks right now in Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, "a way of escape." Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated in Jesus' name. The Bible says that we have been given exceeding great and precious promises. Let me say it again. God's word tells us that we have been given exceeding great and precious promises. And this is one of the greatest. Do you understand what the word is saying? That no matter what situation you are in, no matter where you are at, there is a way of escape. There is a way of escape. And that's the title of my message. Really simple. The way of escape. Great and merciful and mighty is his word. He said that he is faithful. He is faithful, but who will not suffer you, not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able. That means whatever you're going through, you're able. With God's help, you are able. With God's help, you can make it. With God's help, he will see you through. So you need to start to do like David and encourage yourself. Start to be like the little steam engine and say, "I think I can, I think I can." You know, Thomas the steam engine? You got to tell yourself, God has made a way of escape. He has promised that there is a way out of whatever mess. You know, there have been times in my life I've got myself into some messes, and I just look around and I'm thinking, however am I going to get out of this one? You ever been in that situation where you say to yourself, however am I going to get out of this one? But looking back, God has taken me through. He has delivered me. He has made a way of escape. There's always a way of escape. Now I'm going to give you some ways of escape. Some of them, we may not like it, but it is a way of escape. There is a way out from wherever you're sitting. You know, as I said many times, I look back on my life and I can think of situations and I thought, you know, it's about time the earth should open up and swallow me, because that's the only way I'm going to get out of this. But yet, looking back, God made a way of escape. All I had to do was to start to look around, because he said he would promise that there would be a way of escape. But you know, a lot of the times we find our way into these situations by our own choices. Genesis 13, verse 10. We find that Abraham and his nephew Lot have been walking together, but they're not quite getting along. Their herdsmen are not getting along. And there's coming a time in life when we all have to make some choices. All we've been talking about Sunday school is the choices, that our very nature is to make choice. And we find here that Lot got himself into a whole big mess by making a choice that took him into a situation that he really didn't want to be in. Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the valley of the Jordan. See, usually we get into these situations because they look good. It looks so like the right thing to do, the right situation to be in. He looked at the choice before him and he said, "You know what? I think I'm going to go down into that valley. I'm going to go down by the Jordan where it's well watered." But that was before the verse said, destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a beautiful place. It says it was like the Garden of Eden. You know why? Because he chose based upon his senses. He chose based upon what looked good to him. So the way in is much easier than the way out. But when you get into the mess, look for the way of escape. Lot said, boy, this looks so good. I said that so many times. This deal looks so good. And before I pray about it, before I give God any input, I've already signed the piece of paper. I remember when we were living in Virginia, and we were a newly married couple. I think we were about maybe 25, maybe less than that, 24. And we had two young children, and we got this thing in the paper. And I was very naive and stupid. Let me just put it that way. And we got this invitation to this resort. See, my wife is smiling. We got this invitation to this resort. And at that time, we had no idea what a timeshare is or anything like that. We got this invitation to this beautiful mountain resort in the Blue Ridge. Plus, they guaranteed you were going to get one of these three gifts. And one of them was a gold ingot. So we said, you know what I was doing? I was doing a lot. I was being led by my senses. I said, boy, this sounds good. They said they're gonna take you around this resort. You get to stay there. You get this beautiful meal. And, you know, what could be so bad about that? It sounded so innocent and easy. So we got in our car, and we went up to this beautiful resort. And they showed us all these beautiful, beautiful, luxurious apartments. These can be yours. You know, you need a vacation. You know, they did what what's called the yes momentum. You probably never heard of it, but they give you answers to which you have to say yes. You like mom and apple pie? You like God and country? That's what's called the yes momentum. If you didn't know it, when you go to the sales dealer next time, you'll understand. You like this car, don't you? Isn't it beautiful? That's why you want to buy it? It's called the yes momentum, see, so. But at that time, I knew nothing about that. I was doing a lot. I was on the way in. I wasn't looking for the way out. And before you know it, they had us in this room with these gentlemen with a tie and a suit and telling us how not many people get invited to this. You must be pretty special. We liked hearing that. Yes, I like hearing it. I'm pretty special. You know, we only choose people who are a certain class can come to this resort. You know, I was feeling pretty good about that. You liked this. You liked everything you saw, didn't you? Oh, yes, I did. So don't you deserve a week here every year at least? Oh, yes, I do. And you know how the rest of the story goes. Before I knew it, I was in Sodom living in Gomorrah. You know, we had signed on to this thing. And I said to my wife, it's okay. It's okay. They really can't enforce this contract. See, I thought I had it all worked out. You know, I said, they can't enforce this contract because little do they know, our credit isn't high enough for them to actually do this. So I thought I was so smart. They couldn't enforce the contract because when they ran the credit check, we wouldn't pass. But little did I know that they had their own credit agency. See, I bet Lot went down to Sodom with the best of intentions, looking at how beautiful it was. And they probably said, wouldn't you deserve to live in a nice place like this? But there was a way out. Thanks be, God was so merciful. In Virginia, where we were living, I after I found out that they were still going to enforce the contract, and now we had bought this whole timeshare that we really didn't need or want, I thought we were stuck. But God is so merciful. Guess what I started doing? I started to look for the way of escape. I started to look for the way of escape. And very fortunately, in Virginia, I found out that they have a 3-day clause on any contract. Any real estate contract, you have 3 days in which to cancel it. And so I found a way of escape. I found a way of escape. What I'm talking about today is that God has got a way of escape for you. Even if you were like me, and that was only one of many, many times that I did some stupid, stupid things. But God was so merciful. Aren't you glad that there is a way of escape? Aren't you glad that you don't have to be caught in Satan's trap? But if you will just do what God is asking you to do. Now, sometimes the way of escape is the way through. Sometimes you have to actually go through it to get out of it. Sometimes there isn't any canceling the contract. Sometimes you have to go all the way through. But he has promised never to leave you nor forsake you. We find in the book of Daniel chapter 3 and starting at verse 19, the three Hebrew boys. And you know the story of how King Nebuchadnezzar had set up this image, and he commanded everyone to bow down to this image, to worship this image. And if you didn't worship the image, you were going to be cast into the fiery furnace. Now that sounds like a real situation. That sounds like a no way out situation. And in this case, there was no way out. By not worshiping the image per se, the only way was to stand up for what God wanted and to get thrown into the fire. And you know the story. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. See, the devil's going to get mad when you don't do what he wants. He's going to get mad when you don't sign the contract. He's going to come with some pressure tactics, the high pressure sales tactics. We wouldn't have chosen you if you weren't capable of doing this. He'll say all the right words to make you feel, to appeal to your pride. He'll do whatever it takes to get you into his snare. But they said, oh, King, live forever. We're sorry. We're not going to bow down to your image. We are not going to serve your golden god. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. And the form of his visage was changed. He got mad. His face probably got red. He got so angry. How dare you? Don't you know who I am? Don't you know what I can do to you? And he commanded that the furnace should be heated up 7 times. The devil will get mad. Your situation may even get worse when you start to stand foursquare for what is right and for what God wants. The devil will get mad. And in this case, the way of escape was actually the way through. They said, we don't care, O King Nebuchadnezzar, what you do, because whatever happens, we're going to get out of this. Either we're going to die, we're going to get out of this, or God is going to deliver us, we're going to get out of this. We are not careful how we answer you in this matter. Sometimes you're just going to have to stand up to the devil, take a stand and say, I don't care what happens. You know, we had to do that, and I'm not going to tell you about the house again, but that's what we had. We had to say, Lord, if the devil wants to take the house, that's fine, but we are here. We are here to do your work. We're going to trust you. We're not going to lean to our own understanding. You know, the devil's a bully. And when you stand up to a bully, you know what he does? He runs away. Submit to God, and then you can resist the devil. Some people don't want to submit to God. They just want to go fight the devil. That's not how it works. You first have to submit to God. Then you can resist the devil. See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had already submitted to God. So they said, oh, King, we don't care how hot you make this fire. You are not going to have control of us. Because if you kill us, you have no control. And if we're delivered, you still have no control. So you know the story. He threw them in the fire. And verse 24 gives us the answer. Sometimes the way of escape is the way through. Sometimes you just have to go through the valley of the shadow of death. But like David said, I shall not fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Verse 24, after he threw them in, it said, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. He came to see them being burned up to a crisp. And lo and behold, they were in the fire walking around. Sometimes God will let you be in the fire, and the thing that you thought would kill you is the thing that will bring you through to deliverance. The thing that the devil thought would kill you actually makes you stronger, because he looked and he saw the three Hebrew boys walking around, but he didn't just see three, he saw someone else. And that someone else looks like a son of God. I've told you, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes the way of escape is actually through the fire. As much as we don't like to hear that, you just have to trust God that he is able to keep you. He is able to save to the uttermost. So when they came out, guess what happened? Because the way of escape was through, they got promoted. And Nebuchadnezzar said, I found out that your God that you serve is truly the God of gods and kings of kings. Hallelujah. So sometimes the way out is the way through. Now, we don't like to hear that. But sometimes it's the truth. Sometimes you just have to keep going and keep going and not look back. That's why David said in the 23rd Psalm, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Hallelujah. See, he knows about the valley. There's a valley in the Old Testament. It's called the Valley of Elah. And I think that's where he penned that psalm. We find that valley mentioned in 1 Samuel 17 and 19. Sometimes the way of escape is you have to just fight Goliath. There's no backing down. There's no talking and being reasonable. Sometimes you just have to stand four square and say, "You come in the name of your gods, and I come in the name of the Jehovah." Sometimes the way of escape is you just have to fight. Sometimes you have to just pick up the smooth stone and you have to sling the sling and let God align the stone. You see, he didn't have a sword. But there's a story there. Let's read this. 1 Samuel 17, 19. "Now Saul and they all of the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, and they were fighting the Philistines." Now in the story with David, it doesn't really mention that valley again. But I believe it was that valley that he wrote about in Psalm 23. Because here he was. Nobody in the army wanted to fight this giant who was about 9 feet or 10 feet tall, who had a shield of 300 pounds, who had a staff that was like a weaver's beam. Nobody. For 40 days he defied the armies of Israel. Then here comes this little 17-year-old boy. He could have turned back. He could have put on Saul's armor, but he said, "No, I'm going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. There will be a way out, and it will be through you, Goliath." Sometimes you have to stand up to the devil. That's the way out. There is no backing. There's no turning around. You just got to keep going straight. Hallelujah. You know, the other thing that is a way out is the word of the Lord. Psalms 119, verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path." Sometimes you need that lamp for the way out. Sometimes you have to get on your knees and read your Bible and start to believe the word that you read. And it will give you the way out. See, he has promised whatever situation you are in, there is a way of escape. Sometimes we don't want to hear it. We don't want to know it. We don't want to look at it. But it's the way of escape. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Proverbs 6:23 says, "For the commandment is as a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." You know, I've told you this story. My dad used to, when I got older, instead of using the belt, which he used to do, nowadays that would be considered whatever, but it was good for me. See, that's why it says, "Thy staff and thy..." Sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need that. But when I got older, he used to kind of get in the car and take me for drives and start talking to me. Just start to hold up the word to me. And God was so merciful that somehow I listened. Somehow I listened. For it says here in Proverbs 6:23, "For the commandment is as a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." You know, we don't like getting told what to do. We don't like getting told when we're wrong. But that's the only way we're going to be able to get out sometimes. He has promised that there is a way of escape. The last way out is through the Spirit. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. If we're sensitive when we're in these situations, God will speak to us. The Bible said, he told the disciples, he said, "Listen, it will be given to you what you shall say. Don't worry about it. I know that you haven't been to university and college. You don't have a PhD, but you got something greater. You have got the Spirit of truth. And it will be given to you what you shall say. Thine ear shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk in it. When he turned to the right hand and when he turned to the left." Sometimes the way out is to just listen to what the Spirit is saying to you. Sometimes we don't want to. We just bury it and we cover it up. Because we know if we have to listen, we'll have to do something. Sometimes the Spirit is speaking to you directly. And you just have to say, "Okay, God, I'm ready." Because if you don't, you know all you're doing. They say when you're digging a hole, you got to quit. Don't make it deeper. In everything, there is a way of escape. Let's stand today. Let's stand. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation. Let's say no temptation. Taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer, not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Look for the way. Whatever you're going through today, maybe it's financial, maybe it's sickness, maybe it's family issues, there is a way of escape. Either that or God's word isn't true. So that means there's a way of escape. Because God said in Hebrews, book of Hebrews, by two immutable things, that it is impossible for God to lie. He said, I have given you extremely promises, exceedingly great promises. This is one of the greatest. You can take this word, whatever you're going through right now. You take 1 Corinthians 10:13, you meditate upon it. Whatever your situation this week, look for the way of escape. Because God has promised that he is not going to put on you more than you can bear. But there's a catch. More than you can bear by yourself. You cannot bear it actually by yourself. But it's not more than you can bear if you've got the Spirit. If you've got God walking beside you. See, if the three Hebrew boys had been thrown in the furnace by themselves, when Nebuchadnezzar came, all he would have found was of ashes. But you see, they could bear it because the one that was walking with them was the Son of God. That's what God is telling us, that there is a way of escape, but you need him to be there. Hallelujah. He will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. I'm just so grateful that God did that. In Genesis 18, a little while later, after Lot had gone down into Sodom, Bible says Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw three men coming. And immediately there was something about these three that he knew this was not just three men. So he went out and he worshiped. And he had communion. He had a council. And it turns out that one of the apparent men was in fact God. In a theophany, God in a human appearance. And Abraham had a little to and fro because God said, you know what? The sin of Sodom and Gomorrah has come up before me and I'm going to destroy it. But Abraham, if I find a certain number of people, I won't destroy it. And you know the story how he negotiates down to 10. But God couldn't even find 10. But even with that, there was Lot still in Sodom. And God sent the two angels to make a way of escape. Even if you're in Sodom and Gomorrah, God will send his angels to make a way of escape. It's up to us to follow them.